Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla. At 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen. As they come down, let us stand together. Today, because you care for me in such a special way, that's why versus my heart, my mind,
my heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you.
You pay the price,
you pay the price
for me,
you way back on Calvary.
That's why
I'll praise you, I lift you up. And I magnify your name.
That is why my heart,
that's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Amen, amen. In the book of Psalms, 33rd number of the book of Psalms, verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, if you didn't get it, this passage is talking about the creative power of God. Amen. And I want us to think about this message in light of his creative power. I want you to think about your life in light of his creative power. I want you to think about your problems in light of his creative power. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We ask that you would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word of encouragement, a word of inspiration, Father, reminding us of what you are able to do. No matter how it looks, you remind us of what you're able to do. And for this, we thank you. For this, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The creative power of God by the word of the Lord. Were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. I am a beneficiary of the civil rights movement. I, like many of us, stand on the shoulders of great men and women who fought, bled, and died to secure the freedoms that we enjoy today. I've heard stories about marches. I've heard stories about bus trips called freedom rides and lunch counter sit-ins. I've watched documentaries that included excerpts from some of the meetings that were held during the civil rights movement. These meetings were full of songs and preaching. The songs were about courage. They were about standing up against evil and about God being on the side of freedom and justice. Songs like, I Shall Not Be Moved. Songs like "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Songs like "Keep Your Eyes on the Prize and Hold On." Songs like "I Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around." And songs full of faith and confidence like "We Shall Overcome." These meetings, though held in the face of fear and oppression, sounded like victory celebrations. Y'all, they were singing these songs in the midst of very difficult times. People were being lynched and murdered every day. There were bombings like the one at 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, that took the lives of four little innocent girls, Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, and Carol Denise McNair. People like Medgar Evers and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were assassinated. Our own government was at times complicit in demeaning and destroying anybody who had the unmitigated gall to stand up against injustice. Yes, it was a difficult time that called for struggle and work against a system that was designed to keep an entire race of people in their place and keep us in check. It was a time when all an oppressed people had left was their faith in God. They didn't have the law on their side. They did not have the numbers to engage in any violent uprisings or fight. They didn't have the financial resources necessary to win an economic uprising. All they had was their faith in God. Y'all, it was a time when justice, like the world before creation, was without form and void, and darkness was all over the face of the deep. Our text this morning was crafted in a time such as this. Amen. Hope could easily have given in to hopelessness. It was a time when there was nothing but visual and physical indications of pain and hopelessness. And I need you to understand, as many of you already do, as it relates to the book of Psalms, you know that the book of Psalms was a song book. It was the song book of the Hebrew people. They did not have, amen, Ty Tribbett. They did not have Kirk Franklin, but thank God they had a psalmist by the name of David, and whenever it was time for the children of Israel to sing, they would sing from the book of Psalms. Our text is simply a song. Look at it. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Now, I want you to think about the fact that they were singing. They were singing. Tell your neighbor, they were singing. They were singing. They were singing in the midst of trouble. They were struggling against an environment that was totally against the promise of God. It appeared that they would never be returned to their homeland, the land that God had promised their parents and grandparents. Things did not look good for them, but they sang this song that said, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Y'all, they sang this song, amen, that said that by all the host of them were the breath of his mouth created. The song describes the awesome creative power of God. The song talks about God's ability to do something with nothing. And is there anybody here this morning? Amen. You have to admit that you don't live in a mansion on a hill. You don't have millions of dollars in your bank account. As a matter of fact, sometimes you're living from paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes your bills are this high when your money is this high, but yet you sing because you know that you serve a God who has all power in his hands. And when you would have given up, you did not give up because you had a song in your heart that reminded you that he's able. Where are my folk who will admit that God is able? He's able. The song attempts to let us know that the word of God has the power to do what it says. That's a shouting point right there. Unless you're one who don't read the word, but if you read the word, if you know the promises that God gives us in his word, then you ought to be able to shout knowing that his word, he's able to do what he says. But as I think about this singing and about this song in particular, I'm sure there were some in the congregation of Israel who didn't feel like singing this song under the current conditions. There was at least one person in the room who didn't want to sing this song when God's creative power hadn't been revealed in their current situation. Amen, amen. You know, some folk, they stood back and they say, well, that's all right what he did for them. That's all right what he did for Abraham and Isaac. And that's all right what he did for Moses and the children of Israel back then. But I ain't singing until he does something for me right now. Do you know what I would tell you, my brother? I would tell you, my sister, that you're one who's not walking by faith. And you see, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. You can't sing if you're basing, amen, your praise on what you see. You can't sing if you're basing your worship on how you feel or how your situation looks. You've got to, oh my, I know I got some witnesses in here who will testify that every now and then you got to praise him by faith. It don't look good, but I can praise him because I know he can work it out. I don't feel my best, but I can praise him because I know he's a doctor in a sick room. Amen. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a way maker. He's a problem solver. Where are my folk who will praise him by faith, even though it's not the way you want it to be? You can thank him because you know he can work it out. Give him praise this morning. When we today look at the disorder, when we look at the division, when we look at the turmoil in our world today, we may as well be aware of the fact that there are many out there who are not at all interested in singing a song, especially when it appears that the clock is being turned back on many of the accomplishments and achievements of the civil rights movement. There are a lot of young people out there who are saying, we're not marching, we're not sitting in, and we surely are not going to be singing. I've seen some of our young folk with t-shirts that say, dear racism, we are not our grandparents. Some of them even add the phrase, you can catch these hands. I don't know what that means, but I think some of y'all know. Amen. You, mama prayed and grandpa, they sung and all of that. But some of these young folk got some shirts that say you can catch these hands. In essence, what they're saying is they don't feel like singing. There are times that I don't want to sing. I sometimes want to pick up arms and fight. I ask myself, why sing songs about the power of God to overcome any situation when you're in the midst of a situation that God could do something about, but he doesn't? How can you sing songs about the power of God when you get a diagnosis from the doctor that causes even the doctor to shake his head? Sometimes I don't want to sing a song. And so even when I come to a song like the one found in our text, I begin to wonder, how could Israel sing about the total creative power of God while looking at complete destruction? How could our mothers and fathers stand up and sing about overcoming when injustice seemed to prevail? Well, I believe they sang those songs as a means of remembrance. They needed to remind themselves that what they were experiencing was not in line with God's word. They needed to remind themselves that just as God spoke in the past, he had something to say about their current conditions. They needed to remember that God was on their side. And is there anybody in here that can give a right now praise? Because you know that if God is for you, if you know that God is on your side, I don't care how many laws they pass. I don't care how many court judgments they bring up against us. If God is for you, come on, where are my folk who will testify that if God is for you, he's more than the world. Again, you ought to give him praise right through there. You ought to thank him right through there. You ought to worship him right through there, because no matter what your haters do, no matter what your enemies plan, come on and stand with me and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I believe by faith God will condemn. Give him praise in this place. Both Israel and our ancestors during the civil rights movement needed to be reminded that God is a powerful creator. Somebody may be in the same situation of not really wanting to sing the song, but the song reminds us of the time that God stepped in and spoke in our past. And so they sang, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. They sang the song because they needed to be reminded of what God did in the beginning. It reminds me of the poem, The Creation, written by that great African-American author, educator, lawyer, diplomat, songwriter, and civil rights activist, Mr. James Weldon Johnson. He wrote, he said, and God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in his hands. And God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world, and God said, that's good. Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet. And God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world, and he spread out the seven seas. He batted his eyes, and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands, and the thunders rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted, and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his fingers to the sky, and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled, and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, bring forth, bring forth. And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forest and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at the sun, and he looked at his moon. He looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all of its living things, and God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think by a deep, wide river. He sat down with his head in his hands. God thought and thought till he thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay. And by the bank of the river, he kneeled down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hands, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Is there anybody here who understands that if you get in a situation and you don't know how to solve it, if there isn't an answer available, we serve a God who's able to create an answer. If there's a sickness and there is no cure, if there's a virus and there is no vaccine, we serve a God who's able to speak a vaccine into existence. He's able to cure cancer. He's able to cure diabetes. He's able to make a way out of no way. He's able to open doors that no man can open. And if you know that you serve a creator God, then you ought not be afraid. You ought not be ashamed. You ought not be anxious. You ought not be worried. But right now you ought to start giving him praise, because if there is no way, he can make a way. Give him praise in this place. I believe in my sanctified imagination that James Weldon Johnson was trying to remind the people of his day, people struggling through the heat of injustice,